the facades and all the things that the world prepares for us. So anyway, he is has his eyes opened, and he sees the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, like the glory extension of himself, filled the whole temple in heaven. And you know there's a temple in heaven. The scriptures talk about that. The pattern that Moses made on the earth of the tabernacle and the temple was just a pattern of what the reality was in heaven. So we have to think about that. This is not the real thing. That's the real thing. And the pattern there is brought down on here. And we are to agree with what's going on in heaven. So he sees the robe of his filling the whole glorious temple in heaven. And we're going to be there one day. Are you going to be there one day? Who wants to be there one day? I do. Like that song. Anyway, I can get into these old choruses. They really work well sometimes. And then it says, above him stood the seraphim. Now, seraphim is the Hebrew word seraph, has to do with burning. These are burning spirits. These are angelic beings that are on fire. They're the fire of God that burns as burning lamps before the Lord. And each had six wings. Two covered their face, two covered the feet, and with two they flew. This is what Isaiah sees. Okay, angelic beings, not just angels with halos and look pretty with fluffy things in cream cheese commercials, but burning spirits that are before the throne. And what do they do? What do they do the whole time? Let's say it together. What do they say, everybody? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And in Hebrew, it's Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot, Melo Kol Haaretz Kivodo. The whole world, the whole universe, basically, is full of the glory of God. Do you see the glory of God downtown Toronto? Yes. He's there, even though we don't see it, because the whole world fills with the glory. We need to have our eyes, we need to wear spiritual glasses to see things properly. So they say three times, they say, holy, holy, holy. Why three times? Why don't they just say it once? Three times. Well, three is two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established. And I also like to think about it as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we forget sometimes that God is Father. God is Jesus the Son is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. And it's not, Holy Spirit's not an it. If you've ever said the Holy Spirit's it, you need to change that vocabulary. He's God. And it's holy, holy, holy. And the word holy in Hebrew, kadosh, means to be separate, means set apart, special purpose. Who knew that before? Kadosh means separate, and holy means separate. And the Lord of hosts, and the word hosts is the word Lord of armies. It's a military term. Who knew that one? It's a military term. In other words, separate, 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 and holy and pure and undefiled is the Lord, the Creator, the Holy One of Israel, who is the Lord of all the armies in heaven. And it's a powerful army. We want to see that army move across the earth, right? So, and that they're saying that, and they're saying the whole earth is full of His glory. Anybody know the Hebrew word for glory? You've heard it. No, not Shekinah. That's a good one. That's part of Kavod. Kavod. And Kavod has the connotation of heaviness or weight. So the whole earth is full of His weight. And you know when you put your hands out and you just want to feel the presence of God and you feel that weight? That's the weight. That's His glory. That's His that's His Holy Spirit. That glorious power that just resonates on us. And have you ever been in a room where the presence of God was really moving and you see all sparkles and you see all kinds of lights and things? Anybody had those experiences? That's part of His glory, okay? So that's what the whole earth is full of, the glory. And as soon as these seraphim, these burning spirits, are saying these things, the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of whom called, and the house was filled with smoke. He saw smoke, Isaiah did. Can you imagine smoke being full of that place? And when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai, what was the manifestation on the top of the mountain? Smoke and thunders and lightnings, because God was in the house. And when God steps in the house, do you think we'd all be sitting in our chairs right now? We'd be on our faces because we'd be seeing the real glory and the smoke of it and the power of his presence. I think that's what happens when people get knocked over in the spirit. You know that when people get prayed for, the glory just touches them and they go boop, right? I think that's what's happening. So the earth is full of, it's shook with power. And Isaiah sees the Lord. He sees the Lord with his own eyes. And what's his first reaction? Yay, I'm in heaven. I had a third heaven experience. Aren't I spiritual? Now I can go do this and that, and I'm so great and wonderful. Did he do that? He said what? He said, oy vey. Woe is me, he says. Oh no, I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm torn apart. I'm destroyed. I'm finished. Why? Because he recognizes that he's a man of unclean lips and he dwells amongst a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What a thought, eh? We think, and we sometimes we realize God is, we look at God the Father as a kind of little buddy, a chum, you know, hello, Jesus, how are you doing, kind of thing. And there's some truth to that as far as our love to us, but he's a holy, holy, awesome God, powerful, mighty God. And our first reaction when we come across contact with the divine is recognize what? Recognize our own sinfulness. Recognize our sinfulness. And for Isaiah, he recognized that he was a man of unclean lips. He had a problem with his... If anybody's read the book of James lately, it talks about the tongue being an unruly fire, causing so much damage and problem. He had a problem with his mouth. And so did the people. What was their problem? Did they swear? Did they gossip? Were they negative? Were they saying things they shouldn't have said? What was the problem? All kinds of things like that. Maybe they were swearing falsely to false gods. Whatever the issue was, he, like his people, not separate from his people, but like his people, had a problem with the mouth. And what does Jesus say? He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the issue wasn't just his mouth. The issue was here. He recognized his need before the Lord. And it's interesting to think about that when we think about our own thing. And so many times myself, I've asked God for help because I feel like I talk too much sometimes. Does anybody have that problem sometimes? You say the wrong thing at the wrong time, or you say the wrong thing at the right time, or the right thing at the wrong time, or something comes out of your mouth, you're driving the car, and then it comes out. Anybody going to be open here about that? Our hearts? Let's be open. We say the wrong thing. We may curse something. We may say something negative. Whatever it is, all of us, at some point of the time, unclean lips. Right? But you know what? Does God say, right now, get out of here. You're going to hell. That's why I brought you up here, Isaiah. What does he do? What is the amazing thing that God does? One of the seraphim in verse 6, the burning spirits, those with the wings that say, holy, holy, the Lord, take in his hand a burning coal with tongs off the altar. There's an altar in heaven, whether it's an altar of incense or an altar of sacrifice, but there's an altar there where burning coals. And he takes the coals and he touches Isaiah's mouth with the coals and he says, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned. Isn't that amazing? A miracle happens. The coal from the altar touches his lips and he's healed. He's delivered. He's healed. And that's an amazing miracle. Who would like to have their mouth touched with a coal right now? Who would? We all would, right? Because it's from our heart, right? It's still our heart. That's really where it comes from. Lord, heal our hearts. And that's why we're so great for the counseling ministries we have here at TACF. Has anybody gone for counseling here? And in our room, we have an amazing counselor, if anybody's interested. Nancy is an amazing counselor. And she has dealt with a lot of people's heart issues. Not that I'm giving a commercial, but she's great for God to use her to take the coals from the altar in heaven to apply it to people's mouths or their hearts so they can be cleaned. So thanks, Nancy. Anyway, the amazing thing about this is Isaiah, God, I think God is sort of chuckling a little bit about this whole story, because then Isaiah says, I hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Well, who's there before him but Isaiah? Who's going to go for us? Do I have any volunteers out there? Notice the word us. The us is God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Again, three in one. Genesis says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. It isn't just the angels, it's God in his triunity, his triune form. So any volunteers out there, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Now, if God had asked that question before, when Isaiah realized he was a man of unclean lips, do you think he would have responded like this? Hineni. Everybody say Hineni. That's Hebrew for, here am I, send me, send me, send me. You think he would have said that before? No, he couldn't have said that before. That's why God brought him up there to clean him up. And because the whole point was, he would send him out and say, go to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. I don't want to get into that whole part. I want to focus on the fact that Isaiah, as a man of unclean lips, dwelling amongst the people of unclean lips, after has had a vision and a revelation of Jesus. Basically, that's Jesus. That's the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. God touches his mouth and his heart. And then what does God do? After he heals him up, he sends him out as a prophet. So in other words, his greatest weakness becomes his greatest strength. Let me say it again. His greatest weakness issue that he had problems with is his greatest strength. Isn't that an amazing thought? And you know what's great about it? It means there's hope for us. And let's look at those other verses again too, Sue. I'm going to get back to this in a second if I have time, Rabbi Jay. It's not working? Maybe we're not supposed to go anywhere. Never mind. Let's stay here for a second. That's okay. I'm not going to worry about that. Am I there? Well, here's Jeremiah getting his call. See, Isaiah had his call. And notice Jeremiah has a call too. The word of the Lord came, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And I said, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. The Lord said, do not say I'm only a youth, for to whom I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Look at verse 9. What does the Lord do? He touches his mouth. Similar to what happened to Isaiah, touches his mouth, and he goes out and he becomes a prophet to the nations. Same kind of call. Although here Jeremiah doesn't say I'm a man of unclean lips. What does he say? I'm what? I'm too young. Everybody has an excuse, right? But sometimes they're good excuses. I mean, it was a true excuse. I'm too young. But God says, don't worry about that. I'll be with you. Next one. Now, this is the one that's the most mysterious of all the scriptures. Anybody read Isaiah, Ezekiel chapter 1? But these ones all parallel each other. They're all similar experiences of a vision of heaven. And above the expanse over the heads, Ezekiel says, a likeness of a throne, same throne, sapphire. Seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. Who's on the throne, everybody? God. Yeshua, or God the Father. And upward from what the appearance of a waste I saw as it were gleaming metal like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what the appearance of his waist I saw as it were the appearance of fire and there was brightness around him. Like the brightness of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So is the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, what does Ezekiel do? He fell down on his face. And he heard the one voice of one speaking, son of man, stand on your feet, and I'll speak to you. And here he has a call to Ezekiel to do the same thing Jeremiah did, same thing Isaiah did, to speak to a people who wouldn't listen. Oy vey, what's the matter for you? They wouldn't listen. Same thing, but they had to go. And it's that song, go where I send thee. You ever remember that song? Isaiah had to go. Jeremiah had to go. Ezekiel had to go despite their weaknesses. God changed them and they went. Next one. Oh, I'm not going to read the rest of it. Oh, no, maybe we should go back. Hold on. It's interesting here, instead of being touched the mouth, what happens to Ezekiel in chapter 3, verse 1? He gave him a scroll that he had to eat. In other words, God put his words in his mouth. So there's a similar kinds of interaction with receiving something at the mouth and having the word. And he ate it in his mouth. Okay? That's the next one. Daniel, chapter 7. I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. There's the fire again. When we talk about fire, in the renewal we've talked about fire, where is the fire coming from? But the heavenly fire, right? There's that fire. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out before him. And thousands upon thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000. So there's a vision of heaven and these cherubim and these seraphim worshiping the Lord again in heaven. Okay? And that's basically Daniel's call to be a prophet. Next one. This is Revelation. You've all seen this one, right? Who's read this one? Okay? At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, there's a throne in heaven, with one seated on the throne, and he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. Around the throne was a rainbow, the same rainbow that we saw before in the other prophets. Around the throne were 24 thrones. Seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. Verse 5, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. So there's fire again, too, and there's tons that could be taught on this one, but we're not going to go there with that. And verse 6, sea of glass, and around the throne, the four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Verse 7, first one's like a lion, second one like an ox, third one like a man, the fourth are like the eagle in flight. And they each had, what do they each have? In verse 8, everybody, six wings of eyes full around, each day and night they never cease to say. What do they say? Whenever the living creatures give glory, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The same message, basically, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Those are the seraphim, one like an ox, one like an eagle, one like a man, and one like a lion, with full of wings before the throne, for burning spirits that never stop praising the Lord day and night. Okay? And the 24 elders fall down, and they say, worthy are you, O Lord our God, etc., to give glory and honor. So, basically, I just wanted us to see five pictures. We don't need this anymore, right? Thanks. Five pictures of heaven and five calls to go forth to give a prophetic revelation to people. Some of those we see that people don't hear. But I want us to go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Can we do that, please? Oh, you got it. Good. Thank you. Let's go back to this whole thing about the unclean lips. Everybody in the body of Messiah has gifted. As a matter of fact, everybody walking out on the street is gifted. Those doctors, those lawyers, those teachers, construction workers, mothers, fathers, everybody has gifts and anointings. And every one of those gifts comes from God. Do you ever thought of that? That doctor that you go see doesn't have the ability of his own? He may not know the Lord, but they have a gifting from God. But in the body, sometimes people will have giftings, but sometimes we're not able to use them properly, because of issues in our hearts and our minds. A wounded prophet, for example, maybe like Isaiah, was a wounded prophet. He had issues. What does a wounded prophet do if they're not healed up yet? Critical, judgmental, they need to be heard for self-esteem, difficulty with communication. But they still have the gift and the calling to be a prophet. Because the gifts and call of God are irrevocable, but they have issues. How about a teacher, also a speaking role, wounded in the mouth, unclean lips? What happens? Could be hard-nosed, proud of knowledge, boastful, know-it-all. He's all had teachers like that. We're in a school right now. Welcome to the school of the Holy Spirit. I'm a teacher, by the way. Please forgive me. That's what I do for a living. I don't want to mention it now because it's still summer. But anyway, I know what it's like to be a wounded teacher. You say the wrong thing at the wrong time sometimes. but the gifting and the calling and the anointing are still there. How about a wounded evangelist? What do? They preach at everything that moves. You're going to go to hell unless you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thus saith the Lord, you know, that kind of thing. It can be hard in judgment. But the gifting and the anointing to be an evangelist is still there. Right? How about people who are wounded helpers? What happens when they're wounded there? Maybe they overdo it to get some kind of love or attention. I need to be noticed because I'm, you know, there's a wounding there. But the gifting is still there. But what happens when the prophet and the teacher and the evangelist and the leader and the helper has a vision of Jesus, recognizes their need, repents of it, and allows the seraphim to come with the burning coals of fire from the altar of God in heaven and allows us to purge our lips and our hearts? What happens next? Then when the Lord says, who's going to go for me? What do you say? Hineni, here am I, send me, I'm ready, Lord. And so that's why there's such a huge value in this whole thing at TACF to get yourself healed up. Because there are giftings and anointings and callings in each one of your lives. And some people may be sitting there, and the people who are not here today, I'm going to talk to you too. Doesn't matter if they're not here. They're still in the spirit somewhere. We can still connect, right? We can speak to their spirits, right? Wherever they are. They have giftings and callings and anointings too. Every one of you does. And you may not even know it. And there may be some of you have more gifting, anointing, and your little pinky, as the saying goes, that some great person may have out there. You don't know it. But what's holding us back? What holds us back from doing what God calls us to do? And sometimes it's issues of wounding or hurt or sin. And I'm just saying that we all need to come, once again, to that altar after having a vision of Jesus high and lifted up, and his train filling the temple, and the angels crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, to get healed up, and then to go and say, Pastor Jay, I'm ready to pray with you, because I'm healed up. Pastor Jay, I'm ready to go out and share with those coffee shop ministry out there. Pastor Jay, and I'm ready to help over there in the nursery. Or Pastor Jay, I've been healed up, I've been delivered, and I'm ready to help with leading a cell or praying at a cell or whatever it is. That's what it's all about. And that's what the body is supposed to be do for each other. And we all need, but we all need, and if you haven't had one yet, if you haven't had a vision of Jesus high and lifted up and his train filling the temple, then you need to tune your spiritual hearts. We need to tune our spiritual hearts and minds, especially during the worship today. That worship was amazing, wasn't it? What was happening? That was, we were experiencing the presence of God. We were experiencing his glory. We were taken. We were allowed to see. Did anybody see anything during worship today? Anybody experience anything of heaven and the throne room of God? I know I did. Because we are, once you attune your heart and your spirit up to what God is doing and agreeing with heaven, then you begin to see things in the spirit, and it's quite awesome. And who knows, maybe one day, like Isaiah, you'll be taken up and you'll see what he saw. I love that Christmas song. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Who knows that song? Okay. And I think the Lord is inviting all of us here, everybody, to approach his throne, not in fear, not in judgment or condemnation, but saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And if there's any issues in my life that needs to still be healed up so I can say, here am I, Lord, send me, then do it. Because you know what? I just thought about something. We're not getting any younger. Maybe some of you still are. But we're not getting any younger. And you know what? We there's still time left. So I just want to encourage you as Midtown to accept that call of God and don't let the excuses or don't let the fears or the hurts or the wounds hold you back, because there's always a remedy. There's always a healing for your soul and your mind, your body, your heart. And that healing is in Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. And he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask Sue to come and sing a song. And it's sort of related to that. And so let's all stand and let's just have our eyes focused on heaven. And remember that this is no longer a gym anymore, but this is the presence of God. This is the throne room of God.
Thank you, Lord. I just feel that, I don't know, I know Mark's message really, really spoke to my heart, and I know it spoke to a lot of you out here, and if you're feeling that that was you, if there's stuff in your heart that you feel that's holding you back from doing what God wants you to do, or you never thought God could ever use you, and you're like, maybe it's my heart, you know. we're going to open up the altar. You know, you can come and just let God heal your heart. I also feel that there's people out here that really